Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website, which is www.theorganicview.com. If you have any questions or would like to connect with us, you can simply post a question on our wall on Facebook, send us a tweet to @TheOrganicView, or contact me directly at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. Today's show is sponsored by Eden Foods, one of the most trusted names in certified organic clean foods. Listeners of the Organic View Radio Show can receive 20% off any regularly priced items, excluding cases. Simply enter the coupon code ORGVIEW when prompted during checkout. That's ORGVIEW. For more special offers, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com. On today's show, Dr. Dave Golson, professor of bumblebee ecology and conservation at the University of Sussex, will talk about the Task Force on Systemic Pesticides. So I'd like to welcome back to the show Dr. Dave Golson. Good afternoon, sir, and welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon, Jean.
Dr. Golson, could you please share a little bit about yourself for our listeners who are not familiar with your work?
Sure. So I'm professor of biology at the University of Sussex. I specialize in bumblebees. I've been working on bumblebees for 20 or so years, particularly their ecology, why they're declining, what we can do about it. I've published for 220 papers on bumblebees and other insects and their ecology and so on in scientific journals, and written various books and so on. And in the last few years, I've become really interested in the effects of pesticides on bees and other wildlife.
Can you explain why the Task Force on Systemic Pesticides was created, and who are some of the scientists involved?
The Task Force came about, it was about 6 years ago. There was a meeting of entomologists in the south of France. I wasn't there. I wasn't part of the Task Force at the time. And they met to try and work out why insect populations in Europe were still declining despite lots of conservation efforts and so on. And they came to the conclusion that one of the possible causes might be the growing use of systemic pesticides, so really neonics and fipronil. And so they decided to pull together as many experts as they could to review the evidence. And it grew and grew. I got pulled in along with many other people, and the more than 50 scientists from around the world, every continent apart from Antarctica, which doesn't have very many, has been involved in this. It's a rather mammoth exercise, actually, trying to coordinate the activities of so many academics and from completely different backgrounds. So it started out as a group of entomologists, but it's ended up with toxicologists and soil biologists and hydrologists and all sorts of other people involved, bringing in different areas of expertise. Ultimately, we decided that what we needed to do was to try and write it all down. So essentially the task force set itself the job of reviewing every scrap of evidence it could find on this subject. And that's what we're just publishing.
Thank you. Can you talk about the research and the repeated claim by industry that there is not enough evidence proving that neonicotinoids are harming the environment?
Yeah, so industry endlessly say there's not enough evidence, and in the meantime we should carry on business as usual. So the task force has reviewed 800 papers on this subject. There's a lot of evidence, an awful lot of evidence, and the vast majority of it agrees. Of course, you can nitpick. You can criticize any particular scientific study you like. There is no such thing as a perfect scientific study. But when you look at 800 of them, and the vast majority all point in the same direction, then you start to reach a point where it's undeniable that this huge mass of evidence all pretty much points in the same direction, that these compounds are having really widespread impacts on the environment. Going far, far beyond bees. So until recently, most of the debate was really focused on impacts of these chemicals on bees. It was the reason for that is very simple. It's because beekeepers are the first people to notice. French beekeepers in the 1990s, very soon after neonics were introduced, complained that their hives were dying and said it was these new chemicals. And to start with, nobody believed them. But now most scientists do believe them. But unfortunately, the honeybees are just one insect. These are insecticides that kill any insect indiscriminately, anything that's unfortunate enough to come into contact with them or consume them. And the thing that really emerges from this new study is that the consequences, the impacts of these chemicals are all pervasive. So they're accumulating in soils, they're leaching from soils into water, so they're in streams, ponds, lakes, even getting into marine environments. They're taken up by, not just by the crop, which is what's meant to take them up, but by hedgerow plants, so that the hedgerow plants themselves then become toxic. So pretty much any organism living in or near farmland is being exposed to these pesticides, and that insects are incredibly sensitive to them. It kills them, or if it doesn't kill them, it makes them extremely ill. It affects their brain because they're neurotoxins, so they become unable to fly or to navigate or to find food, reduces the number of eggs they lay, and so on. So it has huge impacts on insects across the board, living in streams, living in hedgerows. And that then means it has ramifications for things that eat insects, which includes a huge number of bird species and also fish, many freshwater fish that we like to catch and eat, salmon, trout and so on, rely on those insects that live in those habitats. And so they're all being affected. It really is a sort of wholesale damage to the global environment.
From a scientific perspective, considering the fact that you are an expert on neonicotinoids, how important are they for crop production?
This is an interesting aspect of this whole story, which I find actually quite astonishing. So of course pesticides are bad for wildlife. Insecticides are bound to kill insects other than the ones you want to kill. And you have to kind of weigh up the harm they do to the environment against the good they do in terms of increasing the yield of crops, increasing food production. We all need food. We need successful farming. And so it's trying to find a balance. The astonishing thing in this instance is that it doesn't seem to be any balance at all. So we've got this huge accumulated body of evidence suggesting environmental harm on a vast scale, and no evidence showing that these chemicals actually increase crop yield. And I can give you a specific story to illustrate this, which is almost amusing but rather sad. So I was asked to give evidence last week to a thing called the Environmental Audit Committee, which is a group of MPs in the UK Parliament who are holding an inquiry into issues relating to pollinator decline. And one of the other people asked to give evidence on the same occasion was a spokesperson for Bayer. And he was asked specifically by one of the MPs on this committee if he could provide any scientific study, any study at all on any arable crop anywhere in the world that demonstrated that that the use of one of these seed dressings increased the yield of that crop, any crop at all, bearing in mind they're the biggest selling insecticides in the world, they've been selling them for 20 years. He couldn't come up with a single study that showed that they improved the yield. And in fact, there doesn't seem to be one. I've tried to find that same study. It doesn't exist. In fact, quite the converse. There have been a whole heap of studies that have come to light. Actually recently synthesized by in a report put together by the Center for Food Safety, and there's others come out of Italy which weren't included in that report. Studies which show that if you simply grow the crop with and without the seed dressing, and this is a whole range of crops, it includes canola, maize, soybean, and so on, most of the world's big crops, that actually if you grow the crops without the seed dressing, you get exactly the same yield as if you grow them with the seed dressing. So we're basically damaging the environment on a global scale for no good reason at all. As far as I can see, really, the only people who benefit from their use are the people who manufacture them.
Now, for the listeners out there, what message would you like to leave with them, especially for those that have not yet seen the video?
Well, I of course, watch the video. And do what you can to raise awareness of the unsustainable, the terribly damaging way that we are now growing food across the world. There's something fundamentally wrong with our farming systems where we rely entirely on not just neonics, but a whole swathe of chemicals to produce food. I'm not someone who says we shouldn't use any pesticides at all, but I'm completely convinced that we're using far, far more than we need to. And we need to find a way to stop. We need to find a way to challenge the power of industry, which is pushing these chemicals onto farmers, be it through badgering policymakers, politicians, your local government or whatever, anything you can do. Give it a go, because the more people that say this is wrong, then the more chance there is that someone will do something about it.
And folks, the video that I just mentioned will be made available on theorganicview.com in the companion article to this interview. So please look for that. Dr. Goulson, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the show today. How can people learn more about your work? Your work is just so fascinating, and I know that many of the listeners have written in and are very intrigued with all the things that you do.
Actually, if you want to know how I got interested in biology in the first place and hear a bit about my kind of childhood adventures and learn a lot more about bumblebees, which are amazing, fascinating things that have kept me busy for the last 20 years, then you could take a look at my book. I've written a book called A Sting in the Tail, which I think you'd probably enjoy.
I know I certainly did. And folks, you can also check on theorganicview.com to listen to the interview that I did with Dr. Goulson about his book. And it's absolutely wonderful, especially a great book to share with young people who have an interest in pollinators, especially since Dr. Goulson also is a butterfly guy. So that's something that appealed to me immediately, and I know for some of the listeners out there that have a special place in their heart for butterflies, you'll also appreciate everything that he wrote. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.